It is so nice to be here with you all, and I want to thank Jana so much for all the organization she's done. I'm sure there's been lots of people working behind the scenes. It always takes a lot more to put something together than you realize. When you come to something like this, there's always many hard workers and many hours of preparation and study and other things. And so it's kind of nice to just come and enjoy it, but also it's nice to realize that there's a lot of things that go into it. I want to apologize for any confusion with Jana and the handout. I'd send it a certain way, but I'm not sure how the confusion happened. But I'm sorry about that. And I wanted to tell Cami I'm sorry for missing part of her class. I was busy out there primping the whole time. That's why I missed it. So I'm all ready now. No, not really. Now, Jeff helped me and came to my rescue, so we finished up the handout. So we were taking care of that. Brianne helped me fold them and everything. So that's wonderful. I want to also apologize for any of you who've heard a couple of these things before. Sometimes I feel like I'm a broken record and say a lot of the same things the same way. It won't all be the same, but a couple of things will be similar to something you've heard me say before. But I told Brianne this on the way over here, too. Every time we learn something from the Bible, are we actually learning something new most of the time? Brianne actually said, Mom, if you say something completely new, I'm going to be saying, Mom, what's wrong? That's not biblical. So, we'll go ahead and start out. I want to start out with an illustration I've done before. How are we like a balloon? How is a person like a balloon? We really are quite like a balloon in certain ways. So this is the way it goes. So you have a deflated balloon, and we're going to blow some air into it. I thought I was going to blow some air into it. Maybe it's a messed up balloon. Let me see if I have a spare balloon. If I don't, we'll just have to improvise. Nope, I think it is a messed up balloon. I thought I had two. You can check and see if I have another one. But either way, I'm going to try one more time. If it doesn't work, we'll have the illustration just the same. It seems like it's stuck together somehow here. Nope, it has a hole in it. So that's okay, because when you blow up a balloon, it has air in it, right? So we are like a balloon in that we have something breathing into us. And when we have this balloon, oh, did you find another balloon? Okay, we'll try and see if we have better luck on this balloon. So I'm going to blow up this balloon and see how we are quite like a balloon. Okay, so this balloon has air in it, right? So if when you blow up a balloon, it has a certain purpose. You blow up a balloon for a child, for a birthday party, for whatever reason, and you use that balloon for a while. But eventually, what's going to happen to that balloon? It's going to pop, right? The air is going to go out of it. And what am I going to do with this balloon? And this balloon, too, for that matter. What am I going to do with these balloons once the air is out of it? Is it good for a whole lot anymore? It's not good for anything. I'm going to dispose of this balloon, both of these balloons, because they're not good for anything anymore. But what about the air that was in that balloon? Did the air that was in that balloon cease to exist? Where is the air that was in that balloon that I blew up for a little while? Yeah, it's somewhere in the air, but we can't see it, right? It's the same with our bodies. I like to think of our bodies as like a bag for the soul. Our body is just a bag for the soul. If we can think of it like that, it'll help us with Cami's lesson, because we won't be so overly concerned about this bag for the soul, right? And if we can realize that this is just something for us to be in for a little while, like a tent or a tabernacle, for us to be in for a little while, and it's going to be thrown away, and it's good for nothing. That can help us a whole lot with our perspective. And I think perspective is the gigantic key to open the door to so many of problems in life. And the one we're going to be talking about today is let patience have her perfect work. And as we talk about these things, think about Paul's attitude, for example. When Paul was in prison, was he thinking about his body? Was he thinking about this bag for the soul? What was he thinking about? He could have been feeling sorry for himself. He could have been thinking how much more good he could be doing somewhere else. He could think this place is damp and dirty and discouraging. And he could have been looking at those chains and those bonds that were on his arms or his legs, however he was bound. He could have been looking at that, but what was he looking at instead? He was looking at the souls of the guards that were around him. They also had a soul. Everybody you see anywhere has a soul. We have a soul. I have a soul. Our children have souls. The person at the grocery store has a soul. The people in prison have souls. Everyone has a soul. There's all these bags for souls And as long as the soul is still in the bag, there is always hope for that soul. And I believe that is one of the reasons that God gives us trials, to give us hope for the next life. And we're going to go through quite a few things to show how this works. So I'm going to have a little bit of an interactive format. I'm going to ask for some input because I don't want to talk all the time. I want you guys to talk a little bit too. So, but I'm going to do some talking at first, and we're going to go through some passages part of the time. I'll read the passages, but I'm going to ask for you some input different times. So you have this handout. It looks like a little program. On the first, we're going to take a look just at the title. It says, "Let patience have her perfect work." I really like that from the King James Version. I don't usually use the King James Version to study from, but I do like the poetic language. Let patience have her perfect work. So first of all, let, we think of let as allow. You have to allow it to happen. All of us are going to have trials, no matter who we are. God promises we're going to have trials, whether we're Christians, whether we're not Christians, whether we're old or young, or in any circumstance, we're going to have some kind of trial. But we can allow those trials to help us grow in patience. So we have to allow it. So the perfect work, what about that? Perfect meaning complete and not lacking. I'll go ahead and read James 1 verse 4 in the ESV. And it's going to give some synonyms for some of these words that I have here in the King James Version. "And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." So having its full effect is like having its perfect work. So if we allow trials to cause us to grow, if we allow patience to cause us to grow, that is a gift from God. So what are some synonyms besides, can you think of any other synonyms, anyone, for patience or steadfastness? We've given those two so far. What are some other synonyms you can think of? Or maybe your translations have something else. Can you think of any? Go ahead. Okay. Okay. Keep on keeping on. So there's lots of things you could think of. But whatever helps you think of those synonyms, think of that when we're talking today. Patience. Not just patience in that we're waiting a long time for something at the red light or something like that, but actually having endurance and stamina to keep on going. Okay, well, we also see at the middle of the page our title, actually, that was given to me for our lesson today, Increasing Our Faith Through Trials. So I want to talk for just a moment, and I want you guys to brainstorm some things with me. What are some things, little and small, well, not little and small, big and small, that help, that are trials for us? So just start blurting out some things. You don't have to raise your hand. What are some things that cause us trials? What's that? Health. Okay. What else? Shout it on out. Family. Money. Relationships. What's that? Tragedy. What? Okay. Can you think of anything else? What about some more mundane things? Traffic? What's that? Vehicles. What's that? Weather. How about under family? Let's get a few more in there. Children? Husband? Parents? And in-law? Okay. Okay. Politics? Okay.
Friends?
What about... Even things like that, right? So, what I want us to see from that, can we really think of comparing in some ways things like tragedies in health, things like cancer or disability or death with traffic and losing stuff? Okay, here's one for me. Anybody else got any things along those lines? Schedules. Okay, you might think, man, how can you compare those things? They're just nothing like the same. You know what? They are. Because anything that you let cause you to fall can make you fall. And every single one of us has struggles and trials. And this is what I want to say right now. I want all of us to not be afraid to share when we're having trouble with a particular issue. We might be afraid to talk to somebody and say, my thing seems so small and theirs seems so big. It doesn't matter. It's your thing. Whatever your thing is that you're having trouble with, if it's because you broke your finger and somebody else is paralyzed, it's still, your finger still hurts, and you still have to overcome that thing. And God is not expecting you to face the same thing that they're facing right now, but he does expect you to face the thing that you're facing right now yourself. So don't be afraid to share when you're having trouble. I think sometimes we're afraid to admit when we're having trouble. I know I'm that way sometimes. I don't want somebody to know what kind of trouble I'm having or something like that. But until we're transparent with each other and confess our sins to one another, like James says, we're not going to be able to grow, and we're not going to be able to let patience have her perfect work, because overcoming things is how one of the ways that we get stronger. It builds our faith. It builds our faith, and we know that God can take us through. We see the ways of escape he gives. We see the brethren around us reach out. We see all kinds of things. But if we don't allow those tools to help us, like talking to other people, then we're throwing away some of the gifts that God gave us. Don't be afraid of what somebody's going to think about you, okay? Don't do it. Just be transparent. If God says, confess your sins one to another, confess your sins one to another, it doesn't mean that you have to tell everybody every single thing that you're struggling with, but if you don't tell somebody, utmost, tell God. But find somebody you can talk to, and don't be afraid that your trial is not as significant as somebody else's, because everybody has trials, and whatever you're facing is very huge to you. Even if it seems small at the moment, it is very big, in that any small thing can cause us to stumble before the Lord. The next thing I want to say along this line is that everybody has a story. I know that every single person in here probably has something that's troubling you or bothering you or that you have to overcome. There's nobody that doesn't have that. And so I'll share a little bit of a big story with me. But I will say this, is it is not the only thing that I have to face. And it's the same with you all. And I know I'm not the only person who's in this situation. I'm not special, because there are very many other mothers who have been through something similar to that I've been through. But one of the biggest trials in my life has been that my second son, Adam, who would be, Brian, I'm not even sure how old he would be. I'm so bad with ages, my own age even. But he would be about 28 now. But about 3.5 or so years ago, he was in a drowning accident. So he was a student at Bowling Green, Kentucky, and one Sunday afternoon we heard that he was missing and we didn't know where he was, and somebody called and said, it's not looking good. So the way they knew that he was missing was because he didn't show up for Sunday night services, which I appreciate that was something that they expected out of him. I would have expected it, and God would expect it. But he wasn't found right away, but someone had seen a bearded person in the river. And he had evidently been running, and he would run and then go swimming for a stretch, kind of like in a triathlon situation. And then he would get back on shore and run some more. But he didn't realize how swollen the river was, and he got caught in a whirlpool and was drowned. But we didn't know that at first. He was missing for several days. But the thing was, we were there looking for him. The emergency people were looking for him. And his body was eventually found. And I was so grateful that the bag for his soul was found. But the good news for me was that I knew that the soul part of him, the part of him I couldn't see, was in heaven with God. He was gone on to his eternal rest, and he had already finished the race. He started out running that day, not realizing that he was going to finish his race, but he did. So that is the excellent news about it. And the even better news about it is that I know people very close to me who, when they heard about this, it made them realize that their soul was in danger and that they needed to do something about their eternal salvation, and they were able and permitted the time to be able to do that. So that is just one example of how you can turn something into that's negative into something good. So anything that you're facing can be turned into something good. And it's not that I'm not sad that we don't have Adam here with us, but I am so grateful that some of the people who have turned their life around did so. And if that was something that helped that is the silver lining in it. So one of the lessons today is going to be to turn things that are terrible or just a little bit bad or just annoying into a silver lining, because it can be done. You can turn things into a silver lining, and God doesn't give us more than we can bear. Now, that is my story, one of my stories. But you know what? Sometimes I still get very frustrated because I lost my glasses, you know? It doesn't mean because you overcome something hard that you just are this serene person that never has any trouble anymore. So each thing we overcome is a struggle of our own. And you all have a story, and I have a story. And what we have to do is make that story about God and make the story end in the proper way with the grace of God. So I also think about Jesus' mother. Not that I'm in comparison to Mary, but when I think of mothers, I get comfort in the fact of thinking about there are very many other mothers whose sons have died. So you can find all sorts of ways to find comfort in bad situations and in trying situations. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through some passages, and we're going to find ways for us to be able to use the tools that God has given us to be able to overcome trials and to help them make us stronger. We're going to understand a little bit, hopefully from some of these passages, some ways that we can look at trials, how God looks at trials, and how he has put them in this world. He didn't put us in we aren't in a perfect world. It was a perfect world before sin, but we're not in a perfect world anymore. So go ahead and turn to the inside of your program, your lesson, and we're going to look at a few verses. We're going to start with James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And I'm going to read these, and I may ask for some comments, but in a few minutes, after we go through these verses, we're going to have a little discussion, and then we're going to have a small activity that we're going to do, if I can make the time work okay. So I appreciate your patience in that. So James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and lacking in nothing. We read that verse in the beginning. One of the things I think is beautiful in the King James, it's sort of poetic. It says, let patience have her perfect work. And I checked into it, and patience actually, it is a feminine noun. We don't usually think of things in gender like that. But I did think it was a beautiful way to put it, thinking of patience like a woman, not that she is. But sort of like wisdom in the book of Proverbs, personified, it's just, if you can even imagine that patience is on your side, and she's going to help you. Sort of like wisdom calling out in Proverbs from the streets, don't be so foolish, be wise. The same thing with patience. You can picture her as your buddy and your person bringing you along. Patience is your friend, and she can help you be complete and lacking in nothing. Okay, and also down to verse 12 of the same chapter in James. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. If that's not something to hang on to, I don't know what is. So if you're having a bad time overcoming a trial, just realize God can help me overcome, and with his grace, I can receive the crown of life. The next verse in 1 Peter kind of relates to this one in James a little bit, so I'll go ahead and read it, and we'll sort of relate the two together. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 7. It says, I'm going to skip down, verse 3. Blessed be to God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while. So, first it gives you that picture to look at. He's given you the salvation. He's got heaven, an inheritance that is imperishable and undefiled, kept in heaven for you. But first, before you get there, in this you rejoice, though now for just a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So we have to be refined like gold. We have to pass through the fire, but come out purer still and better still, having gone through those hardships and those trials. But it's only for a little while, because we can see what God has in store for us, a beautiful, imperishable home in heaven. The next verse is James chapter 5. Verses 7 through 11. It's just a page back in my Bible. James chapter 5, verse 7 through 11. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the earth early and late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider these blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. So you see how he gives human examples. So we're going to think of some more of these. Be thinking of some more of these. One is the farmer who waits for the precious fruit. It's not just the farmer goes out, puts a seed in the ground, goes to bed. The next day, he's got a full crop, right? It takes a long time. Everything doesn't happen instantaneously. So be thinking about what are some other things that we have to be patient for, to take a little while to get. And one of those is the day of the Lord. One of those is, one way to do that is by establishing our heart in verse 8. Establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. We have to decide to face these trials. And like it said in the beginning, allow patience to have her perfect work. Establish your heart ahead of time so that you know when something comes along in front of you that you're going to decide to face it in a way that it will help make you stronger. Because we all know if you overcome a trial, say it's a daily trial, that you have to overcome. Maybe something makes you angry. A certain circumstance makes you angry. And you see the situation coming, and you decide you're going to remain patient and not act out in anger, and you feel good about it. You pray, you make the right answers to whatever the person or the situation is that makes you angry, and you can feel peace about that, and you can feel stronger. I did it. Even if you just take one of those circumstances at a time, and you realize you could even picture yourself from an exterior view. Okay, I see this crossroads coming. This is that thing that happens when I get angry. Does anybody have that? You know it's coming. You can feel whatever it is, whether it's with a child or a spouse or an employer. You can see it coming. You can kind of picture yourself. Establish in your mind ahead of time what you're going to do. Think, okay, if I answer this way, it can go this way. If I answer this way, it can go that way. It can make such a huge difference to just plan ahead. And God gives us these avenues to do these things with. So establish your heart. Decide what you're going to do. And besides only establishing our heart to do what's right, realize that there's going to be the judgment day one day. And be looking forward towards that heavenly home that we just referred to, but also be thoughtful about the fact that you want to be ready when the Lord does come back We don't want to find the Lord coming back when we're grumbling with one another and doing other things that we shouldn't be doing. It also gives some examples, and we may talk a little bit more about some specific examples later, but it talks about some ideas of examples, such as the prophets and also Job, who overcame great trials to succeed in being pleasing to the Lord. So we may go back to some more deeper discussion about that later, but for now, suffice it to have what we've gotten from that verse. Okay. Let's go ahead and turn back. Well, maybe you don't even need to turn back. Look at James chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. This one has to do with being able to recognize your perspective. And perspective is something I like to talk about and think about quite a bit. So sometimes these things that happen to us, they seem so important at the time. They seem so urgent. You just have to act on it. You just have to do something about it. Or it just gets under your skin, sort of like when Teresa was talking about. If you're a drama queen, it's just like so awful. Everything's just so rotten. Why does this all happen to me? Or whatever the thing is. If you look at this verse and really dwell on it, it can help you sort of get a better perspective about how to handle it when certain trials come your way. James 4, starting in verse 13. Come now, who say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this and do that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. So if you take a look at anything that you're going through, we've already talked about this a few minutes ago. In 1 Peter, it talked about it's only for a little while until we get to that other home. We're just camping here. We're not staying here long term. So when you go camping, do you expect to have every single thing? I know Fiona's planning a big camp out. Are you expecting to have all the comforts of home, every single thing, your fancy kitchen like they were talking about in the house show? Do you think you're going to have that when you're going camping? No. Well, it's just the same with our life. We're not going to always have everything just the way we want it. We just have to realize that we're just camping and it's just temporary. And if we can realize that we're just camping, then we can endure it a little easier. Isn't it kind of a little bit easy? I like to camp. But if you have some problems when you're camping, like, you know, you run out of something or you don't have hot water or something, you know that it's what? It's just for a little while, right? You can take a cold shower for a few days and be okay. You can run out of a certain item and be okay with it just for a little while. Try looking at your whole life like camping and realize that everything's not always going to be the way you want it to be. Somebody else made that point too. Everything is not always going to be the way you want it to be. But you can make lemonade out of it and make the best out of whatever situation you have been given. So the idea of this verse that I'm trying to pull out of it is realize that your life is short. You don't know how short it is. It could be much longer, but it could end today. And that's one of the lessons that I've been taught by Adam's finishing his race, is I didn't expect him to finish the race ahead of me, of course. And of course it makes me sad, and of course I cry sometimes. But other times I'm just happy. I'm just thinking, he doesn't have to go through the things that we're going through. And when he first passed away, I would be seeing sights or something, going sightseeing or something, because we love to do family trips. And I'd be saying, oh, I wish I could show this to Adam. Oh, wouldn't Adam like that? And then I thought to myself one day, if Adam could speak to me, he'd be saying, Mom, I'm seeing stuff so much better than the sights of Philadelphia. But at the moment, I was feeling sorry for myself, right? He wouldn't want to come back, even if he could. I thought it was funny what Cammy was saying. You know, I wouldn't want him to come back. In some ways I would, but in some reasons, ways I wouldn't. And we just all need to look at our lives like this. His was short, but not as short as some. You know, some of you have lost little tiny babies, too, and they have souls, too. And so we can be like David and know that we'll get to see those souls again one day. We'll have a great reunion, and it's such a wonderful thing to think about. So the next verse I want us to take a look at is Romans chapter 8 is also a good one for getting a good perspective on suffering in the first place. So God knows what he's doing. Sometimes people make statements like, How could God do this? How could a loving God do this? Or why is this happening to me? Well, Romans 8 tells us some about why things happen. I'm going to start in Romans 8, starting in verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who were the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption of sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. So God gives us certain things to go through. It's not that Adam and Eve asked for there to be thorns and thistles brought upon them and pain in childbirth. But due to their sin, God gave us these curses. And ever since then, we've had curses and problems in life. Think about it for a minute. Some of the futile things that God subjects us to. How much do you think people pray when there's a hurricane heading their way or a tornado and you're going into the basement of your house? How many prayers do you think are going up to God right then? Do you think it sort of increased from the day before when the skies were sunny? Yes. Now, in some ways that's good, in some ways that's bad. We might think, oh, those people, they're only praying because there's a tornado coming. Well, yay, they're praying because there's a tornado coming. Maybe they'll take it to heart and actually do something about it this time. Maybe they'll say, wow, we barely made it. Look, our house is rubble, but we're here. So let's follow God. You know, you never know what kind of bad things are going to cause people to rise up again. When tragedy happens, it can send people one of two or three different ways. But one of the ways it can send people is up towards God. And that is what this verse is saying. There's so many futile things that we have to face, but God is giving us this hope that we will have an eternal glory with him. It talks about if we wait and hope for it in faith, there is a beautiful eternal home waiting for us that's much better than what we have here on this earth. We put so much effort and thought and hope into this life. And I'm not saying it's wrong to do things about this life, but we can't put all of our eggs in that basket because that basket's going to burn one day and we're not going to have it anymore. We have to put our hope in the heavenly home that God has in store for us. So let's take a look at Paul's perspective on suffering. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 11, verses 24 through 29. Second Corinthians 11, 24 through 29. So this is talking about some of the trials that Paul went through. So let's see if we've gone through something quite like this lately. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes, less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 night and a day I was adrift in the sea. On frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false prophets, brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from these things, there is the daily pressure on me, of my anxiety from all the churches. Well, let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 4, and see how Paul describes this suffering. 2 Corinthians 4, let's just take a look for now at verse 16. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, and the things that are unseen are eternal. Do you see how that encapsulates so much of what we already said? He's saying, look, this is just temporary. It's just light. It didn't sound light to me. Did it sound light to you? No, but he says it's light. He's saying it's light because it's not eternal. It's just temporary. And he says, there's something so much better coming. And if we can just get the perspective of Paul, if we can just see how he looked at suffering and overcame it, even when he was in prison, we started out with the idea, even though he was being imprisoned for something he didn't really do anything wrong, he was looking at the eternal side by teaching the guards the truth. And let us do the same. Let us look at it with a godly and eternal attitude. So those are the main verses that I wanted to talk about. What I want us to do now, I'm not sure what time I started. So I want to make sure I don't go over. So I want to have a little bit of discussion on these questions. And then what we're going to do in just a few minutes after we do that is I have some categories of people. Different things that people can suffer. So in a little while, what I'm going to do is I'm going to hand these out, and I'll just hand out a couple per row, so just whoever's near you can kind of huddle together and talk through, and we're going to fill out the chart on the back. So I'll explain a little bit more about that, but don't let me forget about doing this. But first, we'll take a look at these questions. And I want you guys to just shout out. We're not going to go very long on these, but we're going to have a few comments on each. So do you remember when I said that the farmer has to put in that seed and wait for a little while for it to come? That's an earthly example of patience having good fruits, okay? Can you think of any other things where patience can cause good fruits in an earthly sense? Can you think of any other examples? Okay, right. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Yeah, that is one of the joys of my life, personally. No greater joy than to see my children walking in truth. But on the days that you're trying to do it, and you're having to say the same thing over and over again, it doesn't seem so pleasant at the time, right? Okay? Right. It might be an unpleasant task, and it may just seem like incrementally this person may be improving. But little by little, the thing that the doctor is doing may cause the betterment of the person in the long run. Good. All right? Right. Absolutely. So the first time you played a certain sport, say the first time you tried to go roller skating, for example. That's not exactly a sport. The very first time, how you feel? Pretty wobbly? Your feet keep coming out? Oh, okay. The first time you got on rollerblades, were you excellent? Oh, okay. I thought you were going to mess up my illustration and say the first time you got on, you were perfect. But no. Right. But do you have to do that now? Right. Because incrementally, you got better and better each time you did it. And that's the way it is with all sorts of things. If we just put our minds to it with the grace of God, and in any of these things that I'm saying that we do, I'm not in any way trying to say that we earn our salvation by doing these things. Without God's forgiveness in the blood of Christ, we would be nothing. But he does expect us to do what he says, so he gives us the tools in order to strengthen ourselves. This is a toolbox that God has given us, and if you're just letting this toolbox sit out in the rain and get rusty and you're not using it, you're throwing his tools in the trash. So take these tools home with you. Can you think of another idea of something that can make you better little by little, or you have to wait for a little at a time? Right.
What works is going in and saying, okay, this is okay, but you forgot a conversion here.
Right.
It needs to be done for this to be right. Because if I go in and I say this doesn't work, it's not perfect, you can't make me do this, then that just causes all kinds of unfruitful discussion that doesn't get anywhere. If you're calmer and patient and just point out the one thing that needs to be fixed, you get done a lot faster and
right.
You get your results.
Right, but it's not easy because we have habits of speaking. I have habits of speaking that I have to work on. And I think everybody here should be thinking about what are the things that I need to be more patient in or work harder at improving and using these things. So that's a good example. Hannah? Right. 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 Excellent example. Okay. Right. Right. Excellent example. Yes. Wait, it's 9 months. And I think God gave us that 9 months so we can adjust to our husbands and everything else if you get pregnant right when you first get married. Yes. Right. Good. Mhm. Right. Right. Absolutely. Good one. Good one. Anything else? Okay. Well, and exercise too. You know, maybe if you lifted weights or walked, you know, a certain distance, you might decide to walk half a mile the first day, or you might decide to walk down the steps. You might decide to get off the couch one day. But each little step you do, you might find in a few weeks you can walk a whole mile without getting extremely winded, little by little. Right, exercises like that. Okay. What about disciplining? Oh, okay, go ahead. What's that? Okay. So that's a good example. Sometimes we have to deal with our siblings, and it may be hard at first, but the more we try to get along with our siblings, by the time you get to be an adult, your siblings can be your best friends. It's really great. I love to see it among my kids. Yes?
What about seeing the change of something maybe you're praying about?
Okay.
That needs to happen and you're not seeing the
right,
yet.
Right.
So the patience to get there.
That's great. That's great. And having long vision, you know, be far-sighted instead of near-sighted. So much of the time, like the Israelites, we're looking at what's right in front of our face instead of the long term. I know Libby and I made a she may not even remember this, but we sewed a couple of garments. She's done a lot more sewing in her life than I have. I've done it on and off. But I remember even making the statement to her, and she probably doesn't remember it. I think it's so interesting, like you get the thread at this place and the cloth at this place and the buttons, and you have all these things, and you have to go to the steps to cut out the pattern and cut out the cloth. And little by little, then you see it come into this garment, and then you see your cute little girls wearing it, Holly and April wearing the same little dress. It's like, whoa, that was a little bit hard, but it, we took the patience and we did it. Libby was already good at it. I was just learning. So anyway, probably was a snap for her in the first place. But anyway, so those are a few examples of those are analogies we understand. Those are like little parables we just made for patience, right? And how we can endure and become stronger. Okay, well, what about this? What about discussing the problem of making things easy on our kids? Now, it's one thing for, you know I'm going to have to go through some stuff and I'm going to have to get strong, but watch out. Don't make my kids go through anything. Let's make it an easy path for them. What is the problem with making an easy, easy path for our kids? I know we could talk about this all day, so just for a few. Right, right. Great, great. Right. Right. It's sort of like lice. If you don't, if you have lice among your kids' hair, or your own, what if you say, "Oh, I don't have time to deal with that. Just let it go." What's going to happen? Worse and worse and worse. When April was little, younger, but not that young, but probably 10 years old or something. She has really curly hair, and she had used to have it really long and more frizzy, too. And she didn't tell us that she had noticed she had something wrong in her hair. And she finally told us when it was full blown, and it was very hard to get rid of. We said, please, if you notice anything different at all, please tell us right away. But like saying I don't have time to get rid of the lice and the nits from my head is like saying I don't have time to correct this child's behavior. Take the time now, because if you don't take the time now, it's just going to get harder and maybe be impossible to do anything about. So good point. Somebody else had their hand up, I thought. Might have been a little girl there. So any other points about making an easy life for our kids? Too easy. Patricia? Mm-hmm. True. Right. Yeah, and kids actually thrive much better under more protected, more rigidity in what's right and wrong in lots of different ways. A couple of examples of that are like, I really appreciate some things my parents did for me. For example, I grew up in the 70s, and I played softball. I still like to play sports and do things like that. But I loved playing softball. But in the 70s, you know what the uniforms looked like? They were shorty shorts, as my family, my kids call it. Well, my mom wasn't going to let me wear shorty shorts. She sewed me some long knee shorts that were white. We had white, the one year I'm thinking of, we had red top, red shirts, the uniform, and shorty short pants that were white. And my mom sewed me some down to the knee. How do you think I liked that? Actually, I didn't complain, but I could feel how red my neck was the whole time. I feel like my face and my neck, I was red as a beet. But I just had fun, and I didn't complain. I just did it. And guess what else? Sometimes those softball games happened when we had a gospel meeting or we had Wednesday night Bible study. You know what we did? We left. And guess what? I went into the concession stand and put on my long knee-length skirt, where everybody else was wearing mini skirts then. I remember feeling like, almost like, slinking to the car a little bit. I didn't complain, and I felt a little embarrassment. I am so glad my parents did that, because later on it wasn't hard for me to turn down doing some things that I had the chance to do, because I knew what it felt like to be different. If you never make your kids be different, they're not going to have the equipped nature to be able to do that, like Patricia said. And I'm sure you may have stories like that too, but I'm very thankful to my parents for that. It's sort of like the lost son and the prodigal son. When he came to himself, it's when no one gave to him. So if we just give our kids such an easy way and entitle them or enable them to do things that are wrong and maybe not even tell them that they are, we're not doing them any favors. Okay, so what are some of the tools, besides what we said, what are some things that God gives us in order to overcome trials? He gives us, I'll say the first one and see if you can think of some other ones. He gives us God's word. Okay, what were you going to say? Is that what you were going to say? Each other. He gives us our brethren. Right. Okay, what else? The word. He gives us our brethren. What else does he give us? Prayer. He gives us prayer that we can come to him. What are some other things that he gives us that we can use for what? Yes, the examples. Examples. Jesus' life. So when we think of him, then it's very hard. Like, that's a good thing. If you're coming to a temptation or a trial, think of Jesus right there watching you. Think of him hanging from the cross. What if Jesus is hanging on the cross right now and you go to him and say, Jesus, the traffic was heavy today, and that made me really mad. How do you think that would pale in comparison to what he was going through? Think of the thing you're going through and compare it to what he went through, and it can make you think, oh, I'm just being ridiculously silly. Did somebody have their hand up? Good. Yeah, great. That's a good one. Yeah. Yeah, right. That helps us, because if we didn't have that, then it would make us harder for us to do that. What about seeing people who are less, okay, Brian? Good. We can draw on that. I was thinking of seeing people less fortunate than we are. If you're having a bad day, go visit the nursing home. If you're having a bad day, go to the homeless shelter and see what you can do to volunteer. Look for somebody who's having a hard time. Go to the hospital and see what you can do for someone. And when you do something for others, it does two things. It helps you see that everybody is having trouble in some way, and it also, when you do service, it also helps you. So I'm going to skip the part right now about Bible examples of different people, and we're going to go ahead and do this activity for just a little bit, because I don't want us to run out of time. And among this, there probably are some Bible people. So now turn to the back of your page, and there are different columns. So I'm giving you here different categories of people. Sure, just do about two per row, and I'll hold onto this one for now. And then they can spread amongst themselves. So like this one, I'm not going to go through this one, but this one is being single. Okay, for example, if you got this one, and get with two or three people, get in groups, however you want to, just kind of talk. First you put the person, what's the challenge of being single, what are some potential reactions you could do, how it could make you stronger or weaker, and what are some negative reactions you could do. So look at a positive way to look at being single and a negative way to being single, and then some scriptures you could use. So I want to hear chitter chatter. I want you guys to talk to your neighbors. And we'll do this, just let you have a couple minutes to work on this. And if we have time, we won't go through all of them, but I'll ask for a couple of volunteers to say how you filled out your chart, okay? So talk to your neighbor. Did you guys get any? Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
Okay, so if anybody doesn't have anything.
You know what?
Like being citizens of America, for example.
Okay. And how some people might wish that they were.
Yeah, or like, what about in our culture? Like, what about if our leaders are horrible? You know, our leaders are bad, but we have to go. Okay, we could, you know, go ahead and be a shining light for God, or we could just complain all the time about how terrible things are.
Are you thinking of a specific person's name?
Just your category. Should I turn this off while we're doing this?
Yeah.
So what I want us to do now is hear what some of the categories you have. So pick a representative from your group, and other people could chime in from your group too. And who would like to volunteer? Who would like to volunteer for one of theirs that they did, okay? You have who? Caretakers and the poor, okay? So what do you have for them? Okay, so that could get tough. Okay. Good. Mm-hmm. You're focusing on that physical stuff. Good, good. That's not what really matters, is it? Whether we're poor or not in the end. Good, excellent. Okay, who else would like to tell what they had for theirs? Okay, so what are some things about a large congregation? Okay. Right. Now, who would have thought having a large congregation could be a trial? But it can. It's so funny that anything just about you can think of can be turned into something negative or something positive, and it can help you grow and have faith in God and know that He has something better for you in the end. So anything that we go through, we can help it build our faith. Okay, who has another one? Lori?
We have a small congregation.
You got the small congregation. Okay, so if we don't have a large congregation, we have a small congregation. I didn't put medium congregation just in case that would be a little redundant. Okay, go ahead. Okay.
Or the fact that you're a small congregation, they're like, well, how do we know you're not just fly by night? You just
yeah, they come and visit and say, okay, it's just you? Okay.
The positive reaction is the opposite. You get to know everybody really well. The negative side is if you're missing, everybody knows it.
True.
Also, when something needs to be done, nobody else
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Right. I work so hard. I do every job. I do this and this and this, and all of a sudden you're proud of it, when instead you should just be doing it for the Lord. Okay? Who has another category? Okay?
Difficult background.
Okay?
So it ties into that. We said having guilt feelings.
Okay.
And also thinking that you want change or you can't change.
Mm-hmm.
So the positive reactions would be like having stronger convictions, like finding out what God did to you and feel like
good.
Strong and also like understanding other people's struggles.
Mm-hmm.
Because you went through tough times. So
Right. Mm-hmm. Good. You know, that's giving me chills. I'm just hearing this, like the thinking through. If you just take time to think through your trials, whatever it is, take the time to think ahead and look at other people. And right now we're thinking through. I'm hoping you take this home and fill it up with any kind of circumstances you can think of, maybe your circumstances. And then you can think, okay, this is how I'll handle it. Somebody else had their hand up, okay? Okay. Good. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Good. Good. Excellent. That's great. Somebody else had their hand up. Okay.
So we had parents with children with disabilities.
Okay.
Our challenges that we all came up with was the lack of freedom and 100% hands-on for a long term.
Okay. Gotcha.
The stress and worry and heartache for mm-hmm. your child and what they're having to go through.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the potential positive reactions, we agreed that it was going to make them cling closer to God.
Uh-huh.
It could cause them to pray more.
Mm-hmm.
It would teach them selflessness, not only them, but their siblings as well.
Yes.
Compassion for others, both the siblings have compassion for others, but also them themselves have compassion
okay.
for others.
Okay. Right.
Situation. The negative reaction was frustration, self-pity, blame, anger, turning away from God because you're blaming him, and
That's okay. Guys, I know we had a short time. So do you see how even something like having a child with a disability, there's a crossroads. For every single thing we face every day, there's a crossroads. You can take it in a good way and you can take it in a bad way. God gives us the ability and the way of escape, like was mentioned before in 1 Corinthians. There's always a way of escape. And these are not so much temptations as trials, but with these trials come temptations to face them the wrong way. I heard somebody say before, having a child with disabilities helps you meet other parents you would never have met before. Think about that. You would come in contact with a whole circle of people that you would never have met before. And that's a blessing. You might be able to share the Lord with them. You might be able to help other people. Okay? I'll take one more if somebody wants to do one. Okay? Okay. Okay. Right.
Mhm.
Right. sometimes they just start to notice. Even, I mean, it's good to say something, but even if you don't, I've known of one saying, you know, you don't say, you don't curse, do curse words. And they say, no, I don't, you know. Right. Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. Right. Right. You, as an employee. Right. Right. So do you see how we can take the tools that we've been given and turn anything into building our faith? We can also take anything and let it destroy our faith, and that's the scary part. So I'm so thankful for all of you guys to be able to talk about this, and what I'm really hoping is that we all become stronger in our faith and that you aren't afraid to talk to somebody if you need to talk to somebody about any trials you're going through, and that you share with other people. And whatever you're going through, somebody else has been through it before. We can sometimes feel like we're the only one, but no matter what you're going through, there is someone else who's gone through it before. So just feel free to reach out and to always pray to God and lean on Him. So thank you very much.